Good morning, everyone. Shalom. Shalom means peace, right? Peace to you and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I would like to thank God for allowing me this opportunity to share his grace and mercy in my life with you, especially during a time of trials and testing. I also would like to thank Pastor Shell for inviting me to speak to you today. Let's begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that we can come into your house to worship and to praise you, Lord, to remember your mighty name and how it works in our lives. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose life has already become an eternal example for us to live, and for your Holy Spirit who continues to instruct and lead us and guide us and give us insight into your word, which nourishes our soul, Lord. As we come to worship you today, Lord, just like the song that we sang, open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes to see you at work in our own lives. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my message outline today. I will give you a very brief introduction, and then the second part will be talking a firm foundation to withstand trials, and then applying God's word during trials, Holy Spirit's help in time of trials, and God's blessing through trials. 这是我今天分享的五个重点哈。 And let's begin with the introduction. Life comes with many surprises, sometimes good surprises, and sometimes not so good. In 2011, I was struck with a surprise of my lifetime, a disease called the multiple myeloma, 多发性骨髓癌. It's a cancer in the bone marrow. It is so far the most difficult challenge I have ever to face in my life. Jesus once told a story about a wise man and a foolish man, how they build their houses. The story was found in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Are we wise, or are we foolish? How can we be wise and not be foolish? What Jesus was saying that his teachings are the materials with which we build our houses. And as we understand, do, and practice his teachings, our houses will be founded in a firm foundation, which can withstand the beatings of rain, flood, and wind. And these can be our difficult life circumstances, trials, or crises. And the houses still stand, those people whose house is founded on the rock. So I discovered in my fight with cancer how a firm foundation in Christ really helped me and how important it is. And let me explain. Now, a firm foundation to withstand trials and temptations. I was very shocked upon hearing that I had cancer. Due to my 40 years of Christian faith, I did not ask God why, but hoped to work with my doctor and move toward regaining my health. Even though I had lots of tears and fears during the first month, deep inside I held on unto my faith. I believed that God would not desert me because he's my shepherd, and I shall not want, Psalm 23. He's my heavenly Father, and he will not neglect me when I'm in need, that's Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus is my friend who gave his life for me. For sure, he will not abandon me at a time like this, in John 15. He's my groom, I'm his bride. He will cherish and take care of my body, that's from Ephesians chapter 5. And he is the head of the church. I'm a member of his body. He will move people to help me. That's finally in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 1. Now, if you look at this tree, I feel like who God is and who I am to him is like the trunk and the roots of this tree, okay? And then the scriptures extending from this trunk are the thing that supported the leaves, and I am one of those fragile leaves. As my life, my relationships with Christ is founded firmly deep inside that rock, and then God's scripture uphold the leaves, my life begin to regain its strength. The Holy Spirit pours water onto the tree, and the insights he gave me were like the sunlight shining upon the leaves. And through photosynthesis, I gained the nutrients, and my life regained its strength, and I become alive again. The leaves actually reflect the health, the beauty, and the glory of the tree. And we Christians are like the leaves. How we reflect the roots, how we reflect the word, is through our lives. And God wants to do a beautiful things in our life, sometimes maybe through trials, maybe through crisis. So just like what Jesus said, I want to tell you that I'm so thankful that my house was not built upon the sand, but built upon his word. Thank God that I have a personal relationship with him. I know that's why I did not collapse or fall in the midst of the rain, the wind, or the flood. And I stand before you today giving praise to God's name. A solid foundation is so important to the Christian life. Do you have that solid foundation? Do you know who God is and who you are to him? Do you know how to read the Bible and nourish your soul with God's word? Do you know how to do God's word and grow from a baby to an adult? Do you join Bible study groups or Sunday school to learn from other people? Do you pray to God often and build a personal relationship with him? We never know when life strikes us with unwanted surprises, and preparation ahead of time, laying that solid foundation, can really help. So I would really, really emphasize for all of us today that you seek to lay a firm foundation upon God's word. There is a Sunday school children's song, the Bible, right? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the Bible. The Bible, God's word, is how God speaks to us, how he nourishes us, how we get our nutrients. So we need to lay our life in a solid foundation so when unwanted surprises strike, we can still withstand that temptation. Now, today's scripture reading comes from 1 Peter verses 3 to 7. Let me read it again. And there's some emphasis in this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, this is our assurance that in the salvation of Christ, we have inheritance in the future, and that never changes. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faith is not a way reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by God's power through faith unto salvation. Verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, it need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Even though we have this salvation, we have peace and joy in Christ, the Lord Jesus, we have a future inheritance in heaven. We, as we live on this earth, we go through trials, and there's a temporary time of heaviness of heart. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now God will test and try our faith through various means and to deepen our walk with him. And then there's another verse I want to use as well. It's found in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now, trials are sent to our way to those who God loves and to those who love God, which is a big surprise to many of us. Sometimes we don't understand why people God loves and why people that love God would have trials in life, but that's the reality, and actually it's God's great opportunity for us to grow. So as we walk with the Lord, sometimes he allows trials as part of our growing experience to test and deepen our walk with him. Even while we were being tried and tempted, I discovered through my illness that God's love and power never left us. And he uses hard times to refine our soul, our person, and to know him more so that we may reign in life. That's why that crown of life talk about, that we may reign in life. So now I want to share how God's word plays part in time of trial and suffering. I want to basically just share three passages that gave me comfort, encouragement, edification, and inspiration for prayer while my faith was being tried. A whole year's drawing close to God's word actually transformed me from within and from illness to health. Even though I was sick and weak physically, yet God was doing something amazing, something wonderful within my heart. So let me go to the third part, applying God's word in time of trial. Now, Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 诗篇46篇第一节告诉我们说，上帝是我们的避难所，是我们的力量，是我们在患难中随时的帮助。 And Jesus also said, it is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. 耶稣也说，叫人活着的乃是灵，肉体是无益的。我对你们所说的话就是灵，就是生命。 This is how amazing God's word is to us. It gives life to our spirit, and actually it gives us strength and life. So let me share with you just three examples how God's word became my very present help in trouble, and how they renewed my spirit and spoke life into me. The first scripture that really helped me came from Psalm 139. 139 verse 14 says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 我要称谢你，因我受造奇妙可畏。 After I was told that I had multiple myeloma, I turned to familiar songs to read. I first read Psalm 139 because in this song, verses 9 and 10 had helped me when I was deciding whether to come to the States to study or not 36 years ago. Verse 9 and 10 says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I compare the wings of the morning to the wings of the airplane. And the furthest part of the sea is across the Pacific Ocean to come to the United States. So because of these two verses, you know, I said, that's fine. You know, that's right. I will come to the United States. And that's how I entered the Southwestern Seminary. And that's where I met my husband. So I came. I loved this song. So when I got sick, the first song I turned to was Psalm 139 because I love this verse. And as I read the song this time, verse 14 caught my eyes because it says, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous and my soul knows very well. Now, the Chinese reading usually does not show the verb tenses. So I always thought this description was talking about the past, as babies were formed in the mother's womb. I was surprised, I said, I am, a present tense. 当我以前读诗篇139篇的时候，我读到的感觉是好像这是过去的事情，这是小孩子在妈妈的子宫里面成型的时候，描写是过去的事情。但是这次当我读到这节圣经的时候，它是用现在式 I am. 这给了我很大很大的鼓舞。 Do you know why present tense gave me such big inspiration? Because in the Bible, verb tenses are very, very important. If they're used in the present tense, it's an ongoing process, all right? So I use this scripture to pray for myself, especially to pray for my kidney. It was the organ that was attacked by the cancer, that God would continue to reshape, to reform, and to restore it back to normal. I do pray this way. So I put my belief, my inspiration from the scripture into practice. I believe the God we trust is the creator of the universe. He is the only one who has the power to create and recreate. He can tear down, he can rebuild, he can destroy, and he can reform. He can make something out of nothing. To create and to do wonders are his specialty. So I made my request to the creator. And I believe because of this prayer that my kidney gradually came back to normal from its lowered 22% in the beginning of my illness back to above 60% normal functioning after going through the autologous stem cell transplant. Of course, medical treatment also helped it clean the cancer cells. 我相信因为我们的上帝是史无边有的上帝。 他能够行神迹，他今天还在创造神迹，他可以拆毁，他可以重建。我就因为这个缘故，也因为这节圣经，我向上帝祷告说：“神啊，求你在我的身上重新再造我的肾脏。我的肾脏因为多发性骨髓受到攻击，那个时候只有22%的功能。等到我做完自体干细胞移植之后，他就恢复到60%以上的功能。所以感谢主。” I thank God because he is the creator and he is still the creator today. He continues to do wonders in our lives. Now, I want to share another important scripture that helped me through my ordeal of illness. It's from Psalm 138. I read this psalm in the second month into my chemotherapy that year, and I knew immediately that in my heart, this was a very special psalm that God provided for me in my difficult situation. Let me explain. Now, verse 3 says, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." 我呼求的日子. Actually, 这个呼求的日子可以翻译成我哭求的日子。真正大卫在上帝面前哭，我也是在上帝面前哭。我哭求的日子，你就应允我，鼓励我，使我心里有能力。 Why was this verse so special to me? Because when I discovered that I was sick, I lacked inner strength ever since I knew I had cancer. After all, this was a shock, and I didn't know anything about multiple myeloma. Many people told me to have a cheerful spirit, to have a cheerful heart, because it's good medicine, right? But I couldn't get cheerful. You know, my heart was so heavy. Actually, I didn't know how to get myself out of this heaviness of heart. And verse 3, when I read verse 3, I knew that when I cry out to the Lord, he will strengthen me with strength in my soul. And that verse really, really spoke to me. And the second part of 138 is verse 7 that helped me during my difficult days. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand shall save me." 我虽行在患难中，你必将我救活。我的仇敌发怒，你必伸手抵挡他们。你的右手也必救我。This verse became my prayer whenever I encountered difficulties. Even though I didn't have enemies, the enemies were the cancer cells in my body. That's my enemy. So I applied this verse to my situation, and I cried to the Lord to strike him down and totally destroy him. I remember one Friday night as my husband went to church, I was home alone and I was laying in bed. I cried out to the Lord, and I used this verse: "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, God, you will revive me. Please stretch forth your arm against the cancer cells in my body and strike them totally dead." I really prayed this way. And when I had the chemo side effects and my days became very, very difficult, I also used the words of this verse to pray. Now, in Psalm 138, verse 2, the second half really strengthened my faith in God's word, especially in his promise. Verse 2 says, "For you have magnified your word above all your name." 因你是你的话显伟大，超乎你的名声. Now, God, from this verse, I realized that God placed the highest value and credit on his words, even above his own name, above his own reputation. In other words, he will do whatever he says. If God denies his own words, or not carries them out, he cannot be the God of the universe and be trusted. So the promises in Psalm 103 became very real to me. Now, 因为这一句话的缘故呢, 我对上帝话语的真实的信心更加的坚强, 特别是在圣经中他的应许。 因为在这之前, 我读到诗篇103篇的应许。 In Psalm 103, verse 3 says, He forgives all my iniquities, He heals all my diseases. Verse 4, He redeems my life from destruction, He crowns myself with loving kindness and tender mercies. And He satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. These promises that I read even before I read Psalm 138, and as I read Psalm 138, verse 2 again, I reflect upon these promises that I read in Psalm 103, and they became very, very real to me. And actually, now I believe, you know, when I made my confession to God, when I repent before Him, He immediately forgave all my sins and iniquities, and He will heal all my disease. The promise was right there. And then He redeems my life from destruction. When I read that, I knew that my disease will not cause me death, and He will crown me with His loving kindness and tender mercies. Christians, sometimes when we go through trials, somehow we lost sight of God's loving kindness and tender mercies. We thought God was punishing me, right? God was disciplining me. But yet, God's love and tenderness, loving kindness was even more stronger during times of crisis because He is a parent. Now, 我们当中有谁当孩子生病的时候, 父母亲不理不睬? 有没有人是这个样子? 不是吧? When our children get sick, how many of us just abandon them and ignore them? I don't think the parents do that. So is our Heavenly Father. 当我们称之为他的儿女, 我们身有病痛有困难的时候, 上帝就转眼不看我们吗? 很多人是这么想的, 说上帝丢弃我了, 上帝不爱我了, 事实上不是这样子, 上帝更爱我们, 他更要扶着我们, 走过我们的艰难。 So it's not like that. Okay, God's love and mercy continues to abide with His children. So do not think that God deserted us or He abandoned us in the time of trials. So these promises were really, really reinforced when I read Psalm 138, verse 2. And the last verse in Psalm 138 also gave me faith. It says, The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O God, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. 耶和华必成全关乎我的事耶和华你的慈爱永远长存求你不要离弃你手所造的 God will perfect that which concerns me. I know I'm in good hands. I'm in His hands. His mercy is great. And I pray that He will continue His work in me to transform and to change me. Now, so that's the second passage in the scripture that really helped me during my time of illness. And the third one I want to share with you comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 28 to 31. Now I underwent autologous stem cell transplant at the City of Hope in July of 2011. I was totally exhausted the first week after leaving the hospital. I stayed in the hospital for 18 days, and then I laid in bed most of the time the first week. In the second week, on a Tuesday evening, I remember that's August 9th, 2011. I heard Isaiah 40. And when it came to verses 28 to 31, I felt God speaking to me, especially the words in verse 29. Now, here it says, Have you not known, have you not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, thinks not, neither is weary, there's no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength, power and strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When it came to verse 29, I felt, Lord, I am that weak one. I'm that feeble one. I'm that faint one. And yet, God was speaking to me that He will give me power and strength. 2 days later, I received a card from a couple from a church, and they also wrote these verses in the card. I knew that it was not a coincidence. So when I gradually regained my strength, I've been sick for about a year. So when I need to get back to life, it takes stages, okay? So my first challenge was just to walk in the neighborhood to get up. My legs were so skinny, it was like this much. Okay, my small legs were only this much. I lost a lot of protein in my muscles, so I was very, very weak. So even walk in the neighborhood would be a challenge to me. So I asked myself, can I do it? At the end of August, and I actually did it. And the second challenge was to drive myself to church. I said, can I do it? You know, after cancer, can I do it? And that was in September, I did it. And then the third challenge was to go shopping in the grocery store. I said, can I do it? The middle section, I tried and I did it. And the next challenge was to drive 30 miles to West LA to take care of my pregnant daughter. That was November that year. Driving by myself 30 miles, I did it. And the next challenge was in that year, 2011, December, we went to San Diego to attend the Chinese Mission Conference sponsored by Ambassadors for Christ. And I was called upon to be the translator for the last closing session. And then I said, can I do it? You know, I told the person in charge, I said, well, I'm available because I'm here. If you need me, I can back up. And then finally, they asked me to do it. And before this, I was, that November for Thanksgiving, I went to my sister-in-law's house for Thanksgiving, which is close to Las Vegas. She lived in Henderson. And I told her that, you know, I have been very forgetful, you know. What's wrong with me? She said, oh, you may have something called the chemo brain. 化疗脑袋, chemo brain. That's you get, you know, very forgetful. And so when I told this brother that I can translate, I thought, gee, what if I have chemo brain? You know, if I become forgetful, what can I, you know, that wouldn't be so good. But anyway, so on that December, the last day of December, when I, before I went up on the stage to translate, you know, I was so skeptical and I was a little afraid. So I asked the brother and the sister from our church to pray for me. But then very, very strangely, before I walk up to the stage, there was a thought that came to me. It says, you're doing something that pleased the Lord. Do it cheerfully and joyfully and courageously. 就是在上台之前呢，忽然有一个声音告诉我说，你是做讨上帝喜悦的事情哈，你要勇敢快乐的去做。 So I went up the stage and I did it joyfully, cheerfully, and courageously. And I proved that I did not have a chemo brain. 就从那次翻译当中呢，我知道我没有化疗脑袋，我的记忆还是非常好，感谢主。 So little by little, I regained my strength. And then the second year, 2012, July, I was called upon to be a juror for 18 days. Which was a very long trial. And for me to drive myself to Sierra Madre, the Gold Line, take the Gold Line to Union Station, and from Union Station to take a bus to the courthouse, and then walk to the courthouse, and then stay in the courthouse all day long, and then walk down the hill back to Union Station, take the bus, take the train, and then back to Sierra Madre and drive myself home for 18 days. God was putting me to a test of my physical strength. See, those that wait upon the Lord shall regain their strength. So 2012, July, I was serving as a juror for 18 days. And 2011, July, I was in the hospital 18 days, weak and feeble. And now I have gone through this trial. So God was showing me during the whole process, the whole ordeal, how he can recover me from weakness to strength. It was just very, very amazing experience. So here, this is me, July 2011, in the hospital. I was, my hair shaved all gone, and I have artificial lines coming off of my blood veins, okay, called Hickman. And then that this was before I was going through the stem cell transplant. That's July 2011, and this is me, August 2013, 2 years later. God's grace was upon me, and God's strength has given back me to normal. So I apply the scriptures to my life. Praise God. Now the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. God speaks to us and nourishes our soul with his spiritual food. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in understanding and receiving God's word into our hearts and to apply them into our situation. So now I want to share with you the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the comforter or the counselor, right, who walks alongside of us. So I want to share especially how he comforted me during my time of illness. Okay. Now, first of all, he comforted me through Christian songs. Now, I remember crying very, very hard 3 times during my illness in 2011. The first one happened in February that year on a Friday night. My husband had gone to church to help with the youth fellowship. So I went to sit on the sofa in the living room. That's a place where I usually meditate, I pray, and I surrender myself to God. I couldn't foretell the outcome of the chemotherapy, and I didn't know how long it needed to take. Feelings of losing control, lostness, and fear had piled up deep inside for some time. So once I sat down, I lost control and I burst out into tears. When I almost finished crying, I went to the piano and opened up a hymnal. And the hymn I opened to happened to be, "I Must Tell Jesus." Now, I know this hymn since high school, you know. And 40 years later, the Holy Spirit led me to open up to "I Must Tell Jesus." I began to play and sing. Now, this is how the verse one says, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. 我一切苦抗全告诉耶稣,我不能独自担此重负. In my distress, he will kindly help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. 我在患难中,主怜悯眷顾,他永远爱我,体恤帮扶. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone." It was just amazing that in my sadness, you know, in my fear, when I was full of tears, Holy Spirit led me through this song. And by singing and playing this song, my burden gradually faded away, and I gradually came down, you know, calmed down with peace. So I also sang another song that a friend of mine sent me from Indiana. Actually, I knew this song a long time ago, and then most of you who sing in choir know "Day by Day," right? "Day by day, with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in the Lord, wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or fear. Day by day, and with each passing moment," that song I begin to sing. So from these two songs, I realized that when I focus on my own weakness, my emotion goes down. But when I turn to look at the Lord and his power and strength to preserve me, my burdens become lighter and peace returns. In addition, I must accept the challenge that God placed in my life. So this is when I first cried how the songs led by the Holy Spirit became my comfort. Now, the second way the Holy Spirit comforted me was through instantaneous thoughts. On February 19 to 22nd that year, during the President's Weekend, I was hospitalized due to lowered sodium and failure to urinate. I couldn't urinate. Now, during those days, my creatinine, it's a way to measure your kidney function, surprisingly went back to normal range. That was the first time somehow I had a glimpse that my kidney would go back to normal. But that was just a glimpse. And after I left the hospital, I had a large amount of urine. It was about over 3,000 cc every day. I had to get up 3 to 4 times every night to go to the bathroom. Now, this situation lasted for about 2 months. And I didn't know why I urinate almost all of a sudden urinate so much, you know, 3,000 cc a day. I didn't even drink 3,000 cc, but my water came out so much. And so because of losing so much water, I discovered that I lost 14 pounds within a month. I was very worried because I need my body mass to fight cancer, right? And I lost 14 pounds within 1 month. So when I discovered that at home in March, I began to cry and began to complain of my doctors. I had a hematologist. I also had a nephrologist, which is a kidney doctor. They both knew that my issue was my kidney, but they didn't tell me what was going on with me. So I began to complain about them, you know, complain about all the doubts I had when I was going through the treatment with them. So as I was complaining and scolding my doctors and then crying at this time, you know, two thoughts came to me. Number one is, you wait this much before you were married, so don't worry. 第一个意念就是说，哦，你结婚前就是这个体重，不要怕。 Actually, I only weighed 105 pounds before I was married, you know, but with each birth of a child, I had 10 pounds, okay? So by that time, I was like 104 pounds. So the whole, you know, this thought, so you weigh this much before, you know, you had this weight before, don't worry, this is my first thought. The second thought is, doctors are not perfect. They are not almighty and all perfect, okay? They cannot take care of you in every way. So do not put your hope in the doctors. You need to put your hope in me. God was telling me, you know, 医生都不是完全人, 他们也有照顾不到的地方, 你不要将你的盼望放在医生身上, and that was exactly what Psalm 118 verse 8 says, 诗篇118篇第8节, 正好是圣经所有经节当中的那一节, 说好, I rather put your trust in God rather than man. So these two instantaneous thoughts coming from the Holy Spirit comforted me and drew me out of my negative emotions and stopped my crying at once. And that's when I cried very hard the second time, how the Holy Spirit brought these thoughts to my mind. And the third time when I cried is through the surfacing of scriptures. Now, I lost lots of hair during the end of June, and the sparse long hair looked very ugly. So that year, July 1st, a Friday, I went to a beauty shop and had my hair cut short. But 2 weeks before that, on June 17th, I had another strong chemo called Cytoxan. And what this chemo does is it helps move the stem cells from my bone marrow into my blood vessels. So 2 weeks later, it begins to have its strong effect on me. I begin to lose hair, which happened to be the second day after I had a haircut. So on July 8th, after a shower, you know, I step out from my shower and I look into the mirror. I saw lots of wrinkles on my face. And I looked very, very skinny, very weak. I didn't know what would the outcome be after the stem cell transplant. What if it fails? So I begin to cry very loudly. I begin to cry and cry, some kind of lost control. And my husband, so I went to the bed and I sat on my bed. My husband came over and said, you know, this is just temporary, you know, all this will pass, you'll get better. But I just couldn't be comforted. But at this moment, these words from Isaiah surfaced, Isaiah 52 and 53. As many were astonished at thee, his visions were so marred more than any, and his form more than the Son of Man. 许多人因他惊奇，他的面貌比别人憔悴，他的形容比世人枯槁。He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. 他在耶和华面前生长如嫩芽，他像根出于干地，他无家型美容。 我们看见他的时候，也无美貌，使我们羡慕他。他被藐视，被人厌弃，多受痛苦，常经忧患。So when the Holy Spirit surfaced these words in my heart, in my mind, in my thoughts, I thought, wow, Jesus was, you know, has no comeliness. You know, he looked, nobody desired him. I said, why should I worry about how I looked right now? Okay. And 他多经痛苦，常经忧患. He was a man acquainted with grief, you know, so much sorrow. What was my trials compared to his suffering and his sorrow? A man acquainted with grief. What is my situation compared to him? And because of these words, I stopped crying right away. It stopped my tears just like that. It stopped my tears. Because at that moment, I know that Jesus understood my weakness. He understood my suffering. And he also let me have a little taste of his suffering to identify with him. And there is so much spiritual wisdom hidden in trials and sufferings. I didn't know this before until I went through suffering myself, that there's so much wisdom hidden in Christ's suffering. Jesus' suffering comforted many, many people who went through trials and persecutions. And his suffering also comforted me and gave me strength to bear through my own suffering. You know, so it is amazing that Triune God walked with me through my distress. He used hymns, used instantaneous thoughts, and the scriptures to bring comfort. The Holy Spirit worked even through my trials. So I want to praise God. The Holy Spirit is amazing. He speaks to us. He speaks to us in our minds, in our hearts, in our thoughts. And lastly, here's a scripture I want to share with you, that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, having been tempted or tested, he is able to rescue those who are being tempted, tested. 他自己既然被试探而受苦，就能搭救被试探的人。 And that's the wisdom in Christ's suffering. We are supported by his example. So lastly, I want to share God's blessing to me in times of trials. Now, I just mentioned that the Holy Spirit brought Isaiah 52 and 53 to my mind. It's my cry in July of 2011. And because of this, that day, I lay down to listen to Isaiah 53 over and over, hoping to be more in touch with this suffering servant. As I listened, all of a sudden, the words from Isaiah 53, verse 10, caught my attention. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. It's hard to imagine that God purposely put Jesus through his sufferings, yet there's a purpose for doing so. The second half of this verse seems to be speaking to me at that moment, that God will let me see my seed, that God will prolong my days, and God will use my hand to do his will. And so right away, I memorized these three phrases, you know, I will see my seed, God will prolong my days, and I will prosper, God's will will prosper in my hands. Now, the first thing, he shall see his seed, okay? Now, my daughter got married the year I was sick. I started treatment in January, and she got married in March, March 19. Even though I was still being treated with chemo, I told my daughter not to change her wedding plans because of me, for life has to go on. Now, 7 months later, she told me that she was pregnant. I was so happy to hear that news because the scripture came to me in July. So when she told me at the end of October she's pregnant, and I say, in my mind right away, I say, the first promise was fulfilled. My first granddaughter, Annabelle Hope Kaen, was born on June 15, the next year. So that's Annabelle. And I took this picture before Thanksgiving. That's three generations of me, my daughter, and my granddaughter. I want to show this picture to prove that God's word is real. I did see my granddaughter, okay? She was born after my treatment. And this, she turned 2 recently, June 15th, and that's my husband, Pastor Ray, right? Now, so the first promise was happened. And the second one is, he shall prolong his days. Now, my treatment was the first Monday of 2011, and then the first day of 2012, January 1st, happened to be a Sunday. A new visitor came to our church. Her name is Bernice Ewan. Now, she was a sister in her 70s, and she lives in the street right behind our church. She never came to our church, even though she drove by many, many times. But that Sunday, she happened to come to our church to worship. And when she read on the back of the bulletin to pray for Annie, because I had a multiple myeloma, and after service, she went straight to my husband and told my husband that she had a multiple myeloma 12 years ago. My husband was so excited, and she told her to speak to me after service. So we sat under the church, under the tree by the church, and we talked. It so happened that she worked at Arcadia Christian School as a librarian. And when she found out that she had multiple myeloma, All the parents that came to that school brought her illness back to that church to pray. And she believed that because the prayer of so many people in so many churches, that's why she was healed. And she had this disease 12 years ago. Now, I've been just through my treatment the previous year. And the first day of 2012, she happened to come and told me that she had a myeloma and she lived for 12 years. And thought I was so thankful to God that day. I thought she was an angel sent by God to share that news with me. If God can do that with her, certainly God can do that with me. God can prolong my days, you know. So 3 years later, now this will be the third anniversary since my stem cell transplant. I have lived 3 years after my illness. And God can do that with her. I surely believe God can do that with me. So God can prolong my days, and God will prolong my days. Now the third one, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now since God had been so good to me, I wanted to serve him with whatever I could. This verse, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands, prompted me to do something literally with my hands. Now, because of all the experiences God gave me through my illness, I began to write my testimonies as prayer updates to friends who were praying for me. So, in 2012, March and April, I began to rearrange the testimony in chronological order. I highlighted the scriptures that spoke to me. I did some editing, and I added the prayers and some recovery health tips to my story, so the stories may edify other people. So drawing near to God in illness is the outcome of my hand. Okay, 所以我把我写过的见证重新整理一下，加上了经文，加上了祷告，还加上一些复原的一些小秘方，都写到这本书里面。And then in 2012, I told my publishing company, Tian, that I want this book to be out before Thanksgiving as my way of thanking God. And it did happen. That week, Wednesday, the book came to my house. And Thursday was Thanksgiving. So I said, God, this is my Thanksgiving to you. Okay? 所以病中亲近组这本书呢，就在2012年的感恩节之前出来，我跟上帝说， 我要把这本书献给你作为感恩的祭。 So from my daughters, the news of my daughter's pregnancy, to hearing Sister Bernice Ewan's testimony, to the birth of my granddaughter, and to the publishing of Drawing Nearer to God in Nils, God continues to watch over me and help me walk with him. I know his love and faithfulness will continue to abide, and I deeply know that he has truly blessed me. Now, a friend of mine gave me a verse when I was going through the treatment. This verse came from Psalm 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. 我觉得中文翻译得很有意思，他说，我的心哪，你为何忧闷，为何在我里面烦躁？应当仰望神，因他笑脸帮助我，我还要称赞他。 So when my friend sent me this verse, I responded by saying, I will also respond to God with a smile. Now, when my daughter sent me this picture recently, this is my second grandchild, my grandson. When my sister sent me this picture of my grandson, Nathaniel, he was born in almost 4.5 months ago. When I saw that smile, I just love that smile. It reminded me of this verse in Psalm 42, verse 5, that God will help us with a smiling face. Now, when you can help somebody with a smiling face, what does that mean? That means you're right, God can handle it. It's no big deal for him, okay? If I can help with a smiling face, that means, you know, no big deal. I can help you. I can do it. No fuss, you know? It's easy. God will lift up his countenance and help us. That God can help us with a smiling face, you know, and God is sufficient. He is able, he is totally capable to help us in any kind of circumstances. And I so wish that I could have smiled back to God with that kind of smile. You know, I was crying a lot in my distress. You know, my heart was all cast down and disquieted. And I wish that I had smiled to God more, knowing that he's smiling at me. I just love that smile on his face. There's no trace or worry or fear when he is under the total control, total care of his parents. So in closing, do not give up on God or yourself or your faith when we face trials. On the contrary, we are given the greatest opportunity to move up one level in our walk with the Lord. I love the saying, do not let your trials define you, but let them refine you. 我很喜欢这句话，不要让你的试炼界定你是谁，我是一个癌症病人，我车祸了，我这样了，我那样了，而是要让这些来提升我们。 Do not let your trials define you, but let them refine you. Okay, let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for being the awesome God who is in total control, Lord. Even when believers are being persecuted, being tried, being tested, your power never leaves, Lord. You do not abandon us. You're always with us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you being the triune God that walks with us in every and each situation. May your name be exalted in our hearts, and may your name be praised and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.